Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. I'm sitting here with Digi.
Yep.
And there's Logic, Flopsy.
Hey.
AKA Bobby, Emilio, and Chad. It was a slow week for us. We didn't get a lot of gaming done today, or this week. I had to go up to San Jose for a funeral. Unfortunately, my dad died.
Yeah, it sucks.
It does suck. It's one of those things that I thought I was prepared for, but, you know, once it does happen, I don't know, there's feelings there that you didn't think were there, and all kinds of shit happens.
Yeah,
sure. And, I try to make fun of everything, right? My motto in life is funny comes first. Like, I don't care that, like, it hurts your feelings. Funny comes first. I've always said that. So my first, I didn't actually.
Which means you can be a dick to be a friend.
Right.
But it's funny. Most of the time it's funny.
So my first tweet, it wasn't a tweet, actually. It was a group text message. I took a picture of the watch that was handed down to me, and I said, I was a son for 37 years, and all I got was this shitty watch.
That's fucked up.
So, like, I guess that's how I cope with things, just trying to, like, make light of it.
So you, so you were gone the whole week. You came back,
early morning yesterday. So anyway, so that's why I didn't play.
I got a question about your dad. Did he ever, like, I always got kind of yelled at by my dad for playing video games. Did he care about you playing video games or anything like that?
Yeah, well, not as much, because I was pretty spoiled, so I kind of got my way all the time. But once I was heavy into my EverQuest addiction, there were some, like, big arguments there. But they never, like, went as far as, like, cutting the internet or anything like that. Like, I was putting in 16 hours a day and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, but I was trying to think of another.
How about you, Bobby? Like, did your dad or your parents ever have problems with you gaming?
Oh, yeah. It's funny because when I was a kid, they would always complain that I was always inside playing Nintendo or whatever. And then when I was a teenager, they always complained because I would just leave the house and go off with my friends and I would never be home. So I was like, what exactly do you guys want? But the hilarious part about all of this, and my dad, I wouldn't consider him a gamer or anything like that, but he really liked pinball when he was younger, but he got really hooked on Mafia Wars, like, I don't know, when was that, like 5-8 years ago?
8 years ago, maybe.
So it was funny to see that side of him, but...
What, like, no gaming ever, and then Mafia Wars?
Yeah, and then Mafia Wars comes along, and, you know, he's like, oh, what's this?
Was that the height of The Sopranos,
of
maybe?
Of course. No, he's not really into that stuff. He just got, you know, he's really into, like, stocks and stuff like that. So I think something about, I've never even played Mafia Wars, but I think it's like Farmville. It's that, you know, clickbait garbage game.
I was thinking of Mafia games. The Mafia games
no,
that are
no.
like GTA games.
No, this is like a Facebook game. Yeah. No.
My parents don't really game, and they never really understood my gaming habits, but my mom is so into
Farmville.
Candy
Crush.
No, it's a solitaire game.
Oh, the pyramid?
Is it Free Cell? What's the one where there are, all the cards are laid out into like 5 rows?
Yeah.
And you have to eventually line them all up and you...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is Free Cell.
And like I've tried to play her game and she like quintuples my score.
Of course.
Like just on the regular.
That's all she's been playing for one game.
Yeah.
Or for all her life.
They both have iPads, and they're both sitting on the couch playing on their iPad, and I just laugh, because they used to just always harass me for, like, playing the Nintendo or watching TV, like, why don't you go outside and do something, and they're just always on their iPads. Now I find it hilarious.
So, just a quick rundown, but the only anecdote that I can bring up about my dad and video gaming is... you should have saw when people were talking about him at the thing. It sounded like the world's most interesting man had died. Because, like, the respect this guy had, and he was, like, hyper-intelligent, and he had My brother went up there. He just crushed it. His speech was amazing, dude. He had everybody crying and laughing. It was amazing. And I didn't have anything prepared. But anyway, so he goes down the list.
Per usual.
Yeah. He goes down the list of everything that my dad was. He's like electrician, carpenter, mechanic, navigator, hunter. And he's just like this whole long line. And then he went by with all these anecdotes on each one about why he was one of those. And it, anyway, so then my sister went up and she goes, well, we have to add smuggler to that list because about the, like he smuggled guns into, guns and, electronics to Mexico to like give to the people of his hometown and stuff. And so anyway, my dad was really, really smart. He went from an orphan at 8 to an electrical engineer in the United States eventually. So he's really smart. So anyway, I got stuck on like Pokemon or something. And I was like, oh, my dad will be able to figure out this puzzle. And I was like, hey, dad, come over here. And he goes over, he goes, he looks at the screen, he's looking, and he's like, I go, I can move this rock this way, but I don't know how to get through. He looks at it, and he goes, no sé lo que son esos chingando monos. I don't know what those little dolls all are. And then walk away. So, like, he was really practically intelligent. It was stuff like maps and knowing where he was and putting things together. But if it was anything like on a screen or anything, he was completely lost.
That's funny. I tried to play Pokemon, but I've never played any of the Pokemons. Mm-hmm. And there's people at my work that are like obsessed with the games.
Yeah. I think that's an age thing. They grew up with it.
And
yeah. I was just too old for Pokemon, I think. Yeah.
Me too. But people at my work are my age and they're just, and they love it. But did you know that, so the original games were what, red and green, I think?
I don't think there was a color.
No, the first ones were red, no, yellow and green, because yellow was the Pikachu, and then green was the Bulbasaur or whatever you could pick from.
Sure.
Yeah.
They have a Flash version that you can just play, so I was playing the web-based Flash version of the game. So if you're ever interested in playing the original, you can just play free Flash Pokemon.
Well, is it fun?
Yeah. I mean, it was from the Game Boy Color. So it has like 8 colors or whatever.
Oh, right.
And you know, I don't know how many pixels, but not very many. And they still got it looking interesting, you know, and they do interesting stuff with the graphics. What about
depth and the combat? Because I remember like you had 2 options or 3 options per.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was only a couple.
Okay.
It was like your attack or your special, basically.
But then do they even get into the whole thing where, like, elements? The elements?
Okay. Yeah. I didn't get that far. I only got a couple hours in.
Okay.
But and then I somehow lost my save, so gotcha. I got that for me gone.
Bummer.
All right. Let's talk about stuff recent.
Yeah. So games that have been released this week. Let's talk about our first impressions of it.
Yeah.
So this isn't really a game, but...
It's a new mode for a huge game.
Yeah, a new mode for Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain.
So the online, you can now play online. It's called Metal Gear Online. And from what I can tell, it's like a 6v6. But I think to make it very Metal Gear Solid-esque, one of them is holding a base and the other ones are infiltrating. So, and you have all the tools, I think.
So it's not just an open world where you wander around, because when I heard that, I assumed it was like GTA 5 online.
I watched one game on YouTube and that's what it was. It was six attackers, 6 defenders, and they were, the attackers were using all the tools that you could use, you know, the balloons and stuff where
you're
sending people up and,
I
think, okay, so people are arguing about like, it's not very good and stuff. It's missing a lot, but the only interesting part to this for me is that while you're playing the game, you're like, well, how stupid are these guards? They turn their back every 30 seconds, blah, blah, blah. But in real life, like I'd be a way better guard than these guys, but would you be? So I kind of like the idea of testing that. Can I hold this facility against armed attackers or stealthy attackers?
I'm assuming this has a price to it?
No, it's included in the game.
Oh, so if you have the game, you now have Metal Gear Solid.
Uh-huh.
So online. I don't think people can complain about that. I mean, they're adding content to a game that's already great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Do you guys have any interest in playing?
just what I said, but the initial reviews are not very good.
Yeah. Well, I haven't even played the base game yet, so.
Do you own it?
No. Okay. And I talked about this a few weeks ago. I should have got this instead of The Witcher 3. I think I would have enjoyed this type of game more. So eventually I will play. It'll be a GTA 5 thing where I play it 6 months, a year later than everyone else. All right, moving on. Sven Co-op. So this is a new...
Sven.
This is a new game based off of Half-Life.
But not Half-Life 2, it doesn't look like, right? Yeah. This is original Half-Life.
Right. It's also the lead singer of a boy band, Sven.
Sven.
Yeah.
Isn't that a character in League of Legends?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The dude with the giant sword.
So I'm looking at the Steam page here, and I'm curious. Why do they put the release date as January 19th, 1999?
Because this...
It's a mod.
This, it says it's been in production for 13 years or whatever, 16 years.
Get on the ball, folks. But this...
It's free to... It's free.
Yeah, people have been playing this for a long time. You could go to their website and have been playing it. It just hit Steam because it's, I think this is their final version, or at least their latest version. And it's free, so I ask you guys if you wanted to give it a shot.
I have no interest in playing, even though it's free.
Yeah, I looked at the initial videos and I was just like, ugh.
Let's see. In this game, players must work together against computer-controlled enemies and solve puzzles as a team. So, kind of Portal-ish? I don't know.
The videos look like they're going up against raid bosses. They're like eight people shooting at this giant beast, which seems like a cool idea. But, you know, if I wanted to face against raid bosses, I'd play WoW or something
I don't know.
Looks like it came out this century.
This game might be 15 years too late.
Too little too late, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even for free? I'm not going to give it a shot?
I would try it. I'll give it a shot. I feel like there's been a lot of Half-Life content, you know, not official Half-Life content, but a lot of mods and a lot of, you know, like Black Mesa and stuff out there. And I haven't tried any of it. So, yeah, I'd give it a shot.
Listen in next week when we go, after 13 years, it blew.
I'm sure it was really good 13 years ago.
Yeah, no, a lot of things are really good 13 years ago.
All right, what's the next one?
Next one is Tower Climb.
Yep, already have no interest.
Roguelike platformer, yeah. No.
I mean, this is Tower Fall, right? It's just another version of it, it seems like.
Is it? Tower Fall, I remember hearing such great things about that game. And then I looked it up, I saw it, and I saw the art style, and immediately I was a little turned off by it.
I even tried it for 10 or 20 minutes, and
Tower Fall,
I didn't get
it. Tower Fall Ascension, right?
Tower Fall Ascension. But I think you need I think that's a co-op game, like a couch co-op. Like
I've
you
had
play with people.
Several friends say that they really liked it on, you know, playing on consoles, though.
Yeah.
So I own it. We should give it a shot.
Yeah.
One of these days we can play it. Tower Climb is getting us interested in playing Tower Fall.
That's what's going on.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Tower Climb, the perfect accent to Tower Fall. That's it.
All right.
It might be good, but it's no gang beast.
That's
right now.
Really funny.
All right, what's next?
To Burn Into Memory. Already, I'm not crazy about that title.
So, it seems like it's a choose your own adventure. What are these called? Interactive novels?
No, I have no interest.
It's free. It's based on a city that never existed in Europe during World War II. And you're like, I don't know, walking around it and somehow extracting memories from the buildings and stuff.
It's a walking simulator.
All I see is text.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of text here.
Yeah. I don't think
it's is it free? It looks like it's got a price.
Yeah, it's free.
I don't know.
Scroll down there.
At least they use a nice font.
Oh, it is free. Yeah. Freedom. I'm not wasting my 15 minutes.
I'm going to pass on that one.
It's so funny because you're such a, like, literal file, you know?
I love books, but
You love reading. You read all the comments on Tumblr. Like, you love reading.
Something about a video game that tries to make you read too much, I don't know. It seems a little dishonest. Like, they aren't representing themselves properly.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're fun. Come on over here. Have a good time. Oh, wait. No, it's homework.
Well, I don't know. I just think, like, if they do it well, then I might be interested in...
Well, what's an example of that being done well?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, if people are, say, talking about a choose-your-own-adventure thing, then maybe I would, you know, play it to find out what people are talking about.
Mm. All right, so next up we have Move or Die. This is one of those, I think every week we're going to do one of these where it's a four-player local co-op that has a wacky mechanic. And we talk about that wacky mechanic, basically.
What's the wacky mechanic?
That the mechanic changes every 20 seconds.
Okay.
That's pretty dope, right?
I'm digging it.
Yeah, so it seems like it's just a...
So what sort of rule change?
Well, you have a life bar. So I guess you're taking each other's life bar by whatever mechanic happens to pop up. So it looks like sometimes it's lasers, sometimes it's the walls do damage to you, sometimes... I don't know. It has all kinds of shit going on.
But it looks kind of similar to... what would be an equivalent?
Maybe like a Spelunky multiplayer. Versus on Spelunky.
It looks kind of like
did you see
Smash
that
Brothers a little bit.
Yeah, but without the...
Without the walls.
Without the walls, yeah. Well, this has walls. You're encased in here as opposed to...
So you're dying by life bar, not by getting knocked out.
Right. So the ones that I'm just seeing right now, this one looks like paintball. Where you could probably not touch the colors of the other paint.
Or you get some bonus or something if you're in yours or something like that.
And then...
It looks cutesy and fun and bright and colorful, except the background's all gray, but I guess that's to highlight your cutesy look.
Exactly.
It's probably the best one I've seen so far ones we've gone over. This is on sale right now for $13.49. Move or Die.
I think somebody should pick it up.
I like the title, too. It's literal. You know what you're getting.
I'll play it right after this podcast.
It's a directive.
Yeah.
All right.
What's next?
Next up, we've got Resident Evil 0.
Yeah, so it's a prequel to Resident Evil 1 that came out, I don't know, last year sometime, and everybody shat all over it. It was fucking terrible, not good, and then they remastered it and put it on the PC. So I don't know if this thing's good. It says very positive for 487 reviews.
I like how they went, they stopped doing whole numbers and they went to zero because it's a prequel. Like, if they do a prequel to this, it's going to be Resident Evil -1.
-1. Well, they do halves sometimes, right? Don't they sometimes do halves, but not Resident Evil?
I think there was a
Final Fantasy going to call Borderlands the pre-sequel, Borderlands 1.5. That's what they wanted to call it, but they landed on the pre-sequel.
Which was a good name.
I'll be honest. Resident Evil, just the franchise, I have no interest in.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
It really has lost its...
Yeah, but I've never been a zombie guy, so that's part of the reason why I don't...
I mean, we give it a shot, right? On 5?
Yeah.
our hold left shoulder button to aim.
No, it was
1 million zombies.
It was hold forward to walk.
And then 1 million zombies.
Then a billion zombies.
We're like, what the fuck?
The tutorial was hold forward to walk, and then you're like, okay, now get fucked.
Hey, Chad, this game got really good reviews. It's co-op. I think we should play through the whole thing. Okay. 30 minutes later, still the first 20 seconds of the game. What do you do?
Yeah.
And I stopped it and I looked at Chad and I was like, are we this bad at gaming? Has it moved on?
Yeah.
Has gaming moved on and we were left behind?
Did we like look up online or something? Like kind of like, we were like dodge rolling and like trying to like just, that was some of the worst gaming I've ever had. Maybe that's
funny. That's the only Resident Evil game that I've beaten.
And?
Played and beaten. And the beginning was probably the hardest part of the game, but I think
great pacing, Capcom. Yeah.
But I think you have to run in that situation and not shoot as much. I think there were a lot of, they weren't very clear on what to do.
This is the one in Haiti, right?
That's from 5.
5, right?
Yeah, Bob? Yeah, 5.
Okay.
Yeah,
the one that had all the racism comments and stuff because all the enemies were black.
But it was in Haiti.
I know. Yeah. It didn't make sense.
Fuck yourself.
The world wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
What year did that one come out, too? That was like 10 years ago?
Maybe
a little
long.
Less. Yeah, probably 2008-ish.
So no interest in Resident Evil 0.
No, I still want to play the original Resident Evil remaster. One of these days I'm going to play that game.
Yeah.
So Scrap Mechanic. Actually, he's getting a little bit of press here and there. It's a combination of... Minecraft with Siege. Anyway, sorry, these guys are dancing around.
Yeah, I'm walking around. Sorry, my bad.
So finally, you know, kind of like how I've been saying, can we get a AAA roguelike? at least this is getting the...
Is
the
it AAA?
No. But I'm saying at least it's bringing the graphics up from giant fucking blocks of like indistinct nonsense. This is actually pretty. The renderings are really nice. For a game like this, where you're, you know, voxel-based, where you're building stuff, you can actually tell what everything is without reading the description, as opposed to...
Do we have any idea what voxel means? Yeah. Bobby, want to run down what voxel means? Any
voxel, doesn't that just mean it's, instead of, like, pixel-based, it's like a three-dimensional cube or block or something that you build with? It's like creating a game with Legos. So those things can come apart or be put together or whatever, rather than just like predetermined textures.
So it would be the equivalent of...
I guess Minecraft would be the best example of that.
Okay.
Yeah, because Minecraft you can add to or remove individual blocks.
How about modular blocks. Picture pixels?
Yeah, kind of like modular.
Modular picture pixels. Yeah. Instead of like set pixels. Yeah, modular ones.
I'm sure there's a better explanation on Wikipedia out there.
So it would be the equivalent of like Illustrator versus, you know, vector-based art compared to pixel-based?
No, because I mean, that's... Nah, I don't think you can really compare the two of those. But it's like playing with Legos. So this reminds me a lot of... What was that robot game?
Robocraft.
Robocraft, yeah.
Big Dick Maker.
Yeah.
2.0.
So... yeah, you can kind of build it. So there's no game yet. It's just all building whatever you want. And, I guess resourcing, but
you don't fight each other with these inventions that you've made.
I don't even know if it's online. It's very early, I believe, but, people are building stuff and putting it online and stuff. And I've seen a few things. This guy actually made himself like a convertible car where he got in the car, pushed the button or whatever. And then out of the trunk, a whole convertible. And these are all working parts. Came out and like put a cover on his car. Hmm. I saw a hovercraft. There's one right there or an early one. And so it's just a physics type.
A fuck around game.
A fuck around game. Not for now. But when this becomes interesting is when you put zombies that come at night. For me. Like, but then I'm not good at these engineering games, man. An engineer, I am not.
Yeah, because you kept making dicks every game that has any sort of engineering component.
What's the Besieged equation, Bob? Time to dicks?
The TTP, time to penis, yeah, which is an actual thing. It's if you have creative content or user-made content, how long will it take till people start making phallic objects?
Right now, the creator of this is in his art director's room, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to need you to work on those TTP reports.
I have no interest in any of these type of games. I'm not the fuck around games.
But you did like Kerbal, right?
But Kerbal has objectives. You're trying to get as high as you can.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I need some sort of objective. Something to shoot for. Something to reach for, strive for.
Yeah. I don't know. Objective
surviving waves of zombies, right? Sorry, bro.
But there's no end. The
bigger zombies every year.
No, you need objectives and goals. Yeah. And I think objectiveless gaming is something that appeals to a lot of people, younger people who grew up on Minecraft or are kind of used to that just free-floating form. I don't know. I can't seem to get into it. I think it's an interesting concept, but it's...
Obviously, it's popular. Like Gary's Mod... didn't you just say it hit 10 million downloads?
Well, the cool thing about Gary's Mod, though, and it took me a while to realize this, Gary's Mod, people have made things in there that are games with objectives. And my personal favorite was one that was basically American Gladiators, which I've lost all the young people on. Yeah, no one knows what I'm talking about now.
I think, didn't they remake American Gladiators?
I think they did. Recently? Yeah, with like Hulk Hogan or something as a host. And I don't think it worked out.
Yeah, brother.
American Gladiators, remember at the very end, they would run through this gauntlet and the gladiators would try to knock them off. Well, that's how this Gary's Mod level was. You would run around in the, one team would be on one side of the wall and they'd be pressing the buttons, pulling the levers, making the traps go on, go off and on, trying to catch the people that were going through the gauntlet. And if you died, then you went on the other side of the wall and then you got to press the buttons and tried to kill the people. And, if you made it to the other side, you were the winner. So
they should add that.
And they got a hide and seek mode. They just got all these different modes that are actually pretty fun in Gary's Mod, but. Some people just go in and they treat it as a playground and, you know, it's like just playing with Legos.
So Scrap Mechanic is telling us to buy Gary's Mod is what we got on this one.
I don't know. I still got to check out Beast Siege.
Yeah.
Play it off my account. I mean, unless you're a structural engineer, good luck. or watch an hour of tutorials.
Yeah. So Scrap Mechanic looks interesting, but I have no interest.
Right. Once the night waves come in, I'll be a little more interesting or interested. But for now, just fucking
will
around.
There be night waves?
Yeah, that's the next plan expansion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gotcha.
Okay.
The Deadly Tower of Monsters.
Ooh, it's from Atlas. I'm always a fan of Atlas.
Yeah, this is Gauntlet. I think somebody put Gauntlet and Pandemonium. I don't know what Pandemonium is, but Gauntlet's always fun. Mm-hmm. And so...
I mean, we
had a good time with it, right? We just
did we? I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to phrase everything in a question after you say it. You know what, though? Because the reason I say that is because Gauntlet, we were pretty excited about it. And we all played it. We had a pretty decent time, but then we were just kind of like, we were over it really quickly. And I think it kind of was a little overhyped. So I don't know.
This game?
I mean, I thought I liked it the least out of us, Gauntlet.
Well, I was playing the Wizard, so I liked it a lot.
But yeah, and you beat it. Like, we beat it in like 1 or 2 days, right?
Yeah.
And then we never wanted to touch
it. I kind of kept grinding a little bit further than you guys, but yeah, I don't think it had a lot of replay value. This one, I like the art style. It looks cool. Kind of has this zany Mars Attacks feel.
Exactly.
Is this still early access or is this full?
Looks like it is full release for $9.89 on sale.
Unfortunately, it's not local co-op. If it were, we could play that today, too.
What is it? It's single player only? Mm, yeah, that's tough.
Oh, this game could go fuck itself. I was on board. I totally thought it was going to be like a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, well, it looks like an isometric. Yeah, kind of like Gauntlet where you run around. But I'm surprised to see this as only single player. When I see single player like that, I assume, okay, it's got a narrative. It's got a really good story. And if it does, then yeah, this might be kind of cool.
It's got kind of a free fall mechanic. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, this shot that we're looking at right here where he's fighting the gorilla, that kind of does it for me. And that reminds me of Pilot Wings right there where he's going through the rings. All right. Yeah. You know, I kind of like the looks.
Bobby's on board a little bit. It's on sale pretty good right now, $35. Yeah,
so $15 retail, and then it's on sale for $9.89 right now. Also, I don't think we mentioned on Scrap Mechanic, that game is $19.99, $20. That seems a little steep.
It does seem
steep. Because Besiege was, what, $7?
Yes. I think Scrap Mechanic, though, the closest comparison, though, is Minecraft. And you're gonna have a tough time if you're trying to pull the Minecraft crowd. Those guys are fanatics.
Yeah, they've kind of committed to that game. All right, last one we got is Subterrain.
Oh, yeah, I was taking a look at this one. I'm kind of interested. You play as a single player. It's a top-down twin stick, but it's kind of got crafting, and it's a survival game. You're fighting against Martians or zombies or something. You're on Mars.
Hmm.
I believe the colony is slowly being infected into whatever Marsites or whatever.
And it has a lot to do with vision based. It looks like it's all taking place in darkness.
Yeah, you have that cone of vision that you see with those top down games.
And the whole time you're trying to keep the reactor on so that you keep the lights on, whatever little lights there are. So it's really important that you keep that on. It looked interesting to me. But I feel like...
And what's the price, Bob?
Price is $11.99.
Bob, I have that other game. Maybe you can remember the name. I was pronouncing it wrong the whole time. I can't remember the name of it now. But it's kind of like a slow-paced physics version of this, where you're in a dungeon and the lighting's really cool.
Oh yeah. What was that?
I can't think of the name. But I have that, and I haven't played it. It's really interesting.
Looks
I feel like this
terrible.
Looks awesome.
Are you talking about Examina?
Yeah.
Exanima?
Examina.
I think it was N, then M. So, Exanima.
Oh, Exanima.
Yeah. The one that was boasting hyperrealism and...
Yeah. I thought that was a skin disease. Examina.
Yeah.
Exanima.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. But, anyway, I have that and I feel like I can't buy this without truly going through that. I think what you're going to be hearing from me over the next few weeks is just me going back and playing these games. I'm going to go back and play Undertale. I'm going to play Exima.
Yeah. And I might be getting Undertale soon, too. I haven't played that game, and I've been seeing so much talk about it lately.
So much hype on that.
And it's like $10.
No interest.
I'll bring it up later on. We have a little thing on it.
All right. Man, we talked about upcoming games for a while.
Yeah, we did.
Good, because we don't have shit else to talk about. Oh,
I forgot something.
Sure.
I got into Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Yeah.
I finally booted it up. Man, I don't play Assassin's Creed much, but they are on their job. The primary games, the main games, they're just so crisp and polished.
Polished, yeah. Did you say this was from, is this Montreal studio or?
It's their main studio. Their main one? Whichever one is that one.
Okay.
But I really like the world that they picked for this one. So it's what? London in the 18 industrial era.
You're talking like Dickensian?
1890s?
Have they? So I haven't played one in so long. Have they completely got rid of the whole picking the memories of
your... No. It's still...
Oh, it's still all that.
You start off in future times.
In future times and then...
Yeah.
Are you still the same guy that they're picking all these members out of?
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't... I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed 1, a little bit of Assassin's Creed 2.
Right.
So
that was definitely the same guy because he was a direct ancestor.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, I don't know if you don't know, but there's these things called epigenetics. And the idea being that memories are placed in your DNA. And there's a lot of supporting facts about this. Last year there was this thing where they put mice in this thing, and every time the room flashed blue, they would get shocked, and then their offspring were scared of blue rooms, even though they had never been associated with that.
Hmm.
Yeah, so there is something to say for epigenetics. Memories are in DNA. We just don't fully understand how it works. So this game, how long ago did the first... it
must 15 have been years ago?
Maybe even like a scientific writer thinking about epigenetics and that memories are in DNA.
I kind of thought it was silly, though, the first game. I was like, why am I in the future? And like, what?
I thought it was great.
But as I started to play it,
But then it gives you... you can die and it makes sense. No, that's not how that happened.
Which is a really cool idea. And the other thing is, they must have been thinking beyond the first game because... They're like, okay, we're going to do this as a series. We're
it's amazing.
Yeah, they're going to, okay, how can we tie these all together? How can, you know, so.
Yeah.
But this one is London in Industrial Revolution times. The cool thing is you play as twins. And the reason I say it's cool is because Assassin's Creed, you can kind of do things two different ways. You can be very sneaky and do stealth kills, or you can kind of go in running and gunning. Punching people and do
it's
their
called going loud.
Yeah, going loud. Thank you. You can go quiet or you can go loud. And that's kind of...
Or you could go Emilio where you go in loud and die immediately.
That's also called the Chad. But these twins kind of acknowledge it. Because the brother is better at fighting and you can do different things with fighting. And the girl is better at sneaking. Mm. So you can change... who you want to play before the mission, you know, because Assassin's Creed, you're in this open world and then you get to like mission points and then you can start the mission, right? So you can kind of, in the open world, you can flip back and forth between the two characters.
Hmm.
So you can kind of choose who you want to do. And you are, every time you level up, you get two skill points because she gets a skill point and he gets a skill point and they have their own skill trees. So you can do their skills kind of as you want to do them.
It would have been nice if you were able to switch independent on the fly as you were like on GTA.
Well, it doesn't. They're in the story wise. They're doing different things, so it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense story wise to be able to just. Well,
how far in are you?
I played 4 hours, maybe or so.
Okay, because I'm thinking maybe later on, maybe in a ending mission, they'll be on the same mission.
Maybe. But the voice acting and the characters are really well done. The guy, the brother, is kind of sarcastic and late. He's kind of reminds me of like a James Bond character. Like he'll like kill you with a smile and make some sarcastic comment. and the sister is more like intellectual and like with a purpose. Mm. So it's kind of written well. You know, we've seen Charles Dickens, we've seen Alexander Graham Bell. So it's kind of pulling in characters from it, and the graphics are really good. Combat is tight as it usually is.
You know, not long ago, last year at the E3, I got to sit down with some of the sales guys from Ubisoft, and you know, I kind of overheard what they were talking about, and I kind of like, hey, I got a podcast kind of thing, you know, and started talking to them, and then they were really interested, like, what about Ubisoft do you like, or what do you don't like, because, you know, it helps their sales or whatever, yeah, research. And I said, the most impressive thing is that these games are being developed cross-continent, cross hemispheres, and somehow at the end it all comes together into, yeah, this amalgamation of like they know what they're doing. Like you said, it just works. They know the formula, and they never fuck up the formula, or they have before, but this, yeah, is one of the
main ones never seem to be, yeah, fucked up,
right? And it's amazing because they're working on this in a different language,
yeah,
in France. And these guys are working on the graphics over here, and somebody somewhere is like, I'm putting it all together like a mad genius.
For like a downside, I can imagine this is more of the same of Assassin's Creed. Like, okay, it's very much more of the same. So if you're over Assassin's Creed, then I would not recommend picking this up. But I bought this, a new play, I bought this off G2A a couple weeks ago. And P.S., if you go to our website, we've got a click through on G2A, and we would appreciate it, and you get some percentage, yeah, off. Anyways, I bought this for the Uplay version. I bought at the time for like $22, and I think it is probably even cheaper now. So if you haven't played Assassin's Creed in a hot second, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, highly recommend it. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm going to keep playing it this week.
So what's interesting about the Assassin's Creed, let's say there's been 10 games in the last 5 years or so, right?
Yeah.
No,
they do about a game a year, so it would be 10 games in 10 years.
I thought it was one and one shitty one.
Like they, one and one. They usually do one main one, and then the next year is one off one, okay, and then the next year.
Okay.
So they have 2 years to develop the main games.
Okay. Usually. So all I'm going to say, like, is that Bob dabbled in Assassin's Creed and loved it, and Chad dabbled in it and loved it. If you were to play them consecutively, I can see how they would start to fall off, maybe.
Yeah.
So pick and choose your Assassin's Creeds, I think.
Find the genre that you like.
Or the time.
You know, yeah. They've got what? Mm-hmm. American Revolution. They've got Pirates. They've got, now this is in Industrial Revolution.
French Revolution. England.
They've, yeah, got French Revolution. The original one was in... what was it?
England?
India?
No, yeah, I think it was England. No, I think it was like somewhere in the Middle East.
You're right.
Yeah, the first one was, yeah, in the Middle East.
But a lot of people will tell you like, oh, these were the good ones. But yeah, Brotherhood being the obvious one that I hear a lot. But I don't know if you want to go back and play a game from 2000.
Which one was Brotherhood?
I think it was the second one. So it was probably released in the late 2010s. So like around 2008-ish or something. But... you know, it's an older game. So, yeah, I think you're fine if you go back and you find one that you're really going to get into. I mean, I think the pirate theme appeals to a lot of people, possibly the French Revolution.
I don't know. This theme right here, this England, it appeals to me because it's like the Sherlock Holmes era. It's like the Jack the Ripper era. Like, you can understand the language, mm-hmm, but also you can kind of not understand the language. You know, they've got enough odd speaking tendencies to make it interesting. So
a little fun fact for those who don't know, the word assassin comes from the Middle Eastern word hassassin, which were these dudes that would ride out and kill people. But they would take hashish before, which was hash, yeah, concentrated weed version of marijuana, and then go kill people. Akin to the word berserker, which is Vikings that would get fucked up on mushrooms before they fought. So very similar. So you hear berserker and assassin a lot in games. and that's where they come, drugged up warriors, basically.
So as I'm playing this game, I'm realizing, well, not realizing. So they've got a. We were talking about how, you know, they've got this future times, and then it goes back into these memories. But there's a reason for it. They're trying to find these artifacts, and it's basically the Creed, I think, or
yeah, well, Assassin's Creed, right?
This
what were the two groups? The Templars,
and I forget the Guild or the
other guys.
Yeah, so it's these two organizations. One's shady.
I'd hate to be a part of the other guys.
They're both, you know, in the shadows and working. But it's cool that all the games tie together in this kind of overarching
That's thing. Pretty embarrassing that we don't know the name of the other group. I think they might just be called the Assassins. Because that little logo that you see, the triangular thing, that's an icon for one of the groups.
The Assassin group.
Yeah, the Assassin.
And it's an A.
You know, the Templars have their own thing. But yeah, no, I love Black Flag. I really like that one, but I don't know if I can do another Assassin's Creed game.
I really wanted to play the American Revolution one. But how old is that one? That one's what? 5 years or so now?
That was the third one, right?
Who knows? But
that was before Black Flag, right?
Yeah. How long until you think they're going to do a future one?
I don't think they can because, right, the story takes place in
that'll be the last future. One. That'll be the last Assassin's Creed. Like
somebody could write
break
that.
Into the facility where they're picking that guy's in. He's like, no! And he uses all his memories from all his past.
Or maybe the person that you play as is a person even further in the future, and then he goes back to what
so
we consider the future.
It's Inception, where all we watched for all the original games were all memories that he was plugged in on.
No, yeah. it goes back to a caveman that took way too many mushrooms, and he had seen the future of all his offspring.
Wait, what's the game that's coming out now that's doing caveman stuff?
Primal. Far Cry Primal.
Can you go to G2A?
G2A?
Yeah, Far Cry Primal, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Some more stuff came out about that, a little bit more showing less of the animals and more of the people, and just showing that basically, I think what you're doing is you're taking your tribe and trying to overcome another or other tribes. So, looks really... That's one of my most anticipated games of next year, I think.
Really? See, I've been playing Far Cry 4, and I'm just... I don't even know if I can finish it, because it just seems like they just rehashed 3 again.
But it's not that it's bad, it's just too much, right? It's one of these games
where... it's just the same thing.
So, $22, it's going for... Assassin's Creed Syndicate is going for, with the Uplay version... And I kind of, I'm not a trophy hound or anything. Like, I don't have to play on Steam because I get Steam achievements or, you know, whatever. And it's half the price of Steam. So I go with those ones. All right. So, what else are we talking about?
So, Bob or Chad, you say that you really like that. Every time it's something that, like, I wish we had a name for that time in, it's like industrial England, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So another one of those is like a post-apocalyptic industrial England, and that's Grim Dawn. And we covered this, I don't know, but man, a good amount of months ago. But again, I'm going to be going back and playing some stuff that we purchased and liked or maybe didn't play enough. And there's been some work done on this. Already they had a pretty extensive leveling up system, but now they've taken it even a step further. They're now on top of... See, every time you level, you get 3 points, or 4 points. One, you can put into your physicality, and 3, you can put into your skills. What's really interesting about the way they did this, and it's so simple, but it really adds to risk reward and all that. You either progress how far down the tree you go, or you improve the abilities you already have. So let's say level 1, you got a stomp. You can take that stomp to level 16 and have the baddest stomp around, but you never got to the second tier where you miss kick, right? So you never got kick because you have the baddest stomp around. Who knows which one of those two would be better, or maybe the mix of two is better. So I really like that. We talked about that But now they have this whole constellation system where you unlock these...
I was confused when you were talking at this because I thought you were saying constellation.
Oh.
Like a constellation prize.
Oh, right, right.
And you were telling me about this constellation.
Right.
And yeah, I was trying to...
a lot of wax in your ears that morning.
But you're saying constellation.
Constellation,
like stars in the sky.
And the constellations look... It's very akin to the unlockables in Path of Exile. Where, you know, you start
which was
in the
one
center.
Of the coolest part of Path of Exile.
Yeah, the leveling up system in that is the best I've ever seen. Yeah. And this comes close. You know, you start in the central hub of the constellation, and then you pick what direction you want to go, and that unlocks more constellation. And so you have to kind of do your research and see which direction you want to go. So it adds even more leveling up and difficulty. I've played maybe 6 to 8 hours of this game. I've never died once. So that's a problem.
Do you have it set to the hardest setting?
No. First game, I'm like, okay, I'm going to play this just for review, so I don't care. I'm going to play hardcore. Right? Which means you can only die once. Never died. Second time, I'm playing it on hardcore, never died.
And also veteran. Right.
Well, no. So last night, Chad and I tried to play veteran because I bought it because it was on sale. I was playing off Chad's account initially, so you can't play co-op. So I bought it because I really, really enjoyed this game, and I still do.
This is Grim Dawn, by the way.
Grim Dawn. I bought it so that we could play together. It was like $7 or something, and we can't play together. Something's going on with Chad. Chad locks out. It locks up your computer, right?
Yeah, just hard crashes my computer.
Yeah.
Like 5 seconds in.
After connecting, it's really strange because most games won't lock your entire computer. And this is pretty bad. So, I won't fault it for that. Now it might be Chad's computer, but still it's running fine otherwise, right?
My computer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? Really enjoying it.
I need to try a single player and see if single player, cause then I can determine whether or not. It's the multiplayer aspect.
It's dungeon crawling done right. This is I enjoy this far better than Diablo.
Is it Diablo the best 3. Dungeon crawler, you think?
I think it...
We used to play Torchlight.
Torchlight 1 was a masterpiece for its time. I would say right there. I mean, for right now, it's my favorite dungeon crawler.
Path of Exile is also a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, and it's good, but the graphics aren't as good. The only thing that... I mean, if I were going to nitpick here... The only hole in this game is its graphics. They're not quite, you know, they're definitely not AAA, not even AA, but they're above indie or something like that.
Yeah. The crazy thing was Path of Exile was free. It's a free-to-play game. So yeah, you can pick up that.
And there's like part two now or something. Like there's
they did an expansion
yeah.
and stuff.
And we've never played it. We should jump in.
I don't know if I could go back to that game, though.
You played that a bunch.
Go fuck yourself, Bobby.
Yeah, no, I did. I played it a lot. And I don't like dungeon crawlers in general, but if I were to play something, it would probably be Diablo, but I find those games very
Grim
mindless.
Grim Dawn, give it a go.
Yeah. Bobby's epitaph is going to be like, I don't know, ..
No, the trick is they need to have a dinosaur-based
shaking hands like,
dungeon crawler.
Know. What?
A dinosaur-based dungeon crawler.
Why is that?
Because then Bobby would get
in. Yeah, I don't... I don't know, .. I'll tell you what I did play this week.
What do you call .., Bob? What's the name for
ellipses.
It?
Ellipses.
Ellipses. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Before he said it?
Fuck yeah. Do you remember what the hashtag is also known as?
Oh.
It's not an ampersand.
No,
that's the only one I know. Sign. It is an...
It's like a...
Starts with what?
Starts with an O.
opossum.
No, octothorpe.
Octothorpe. Yeah. Sounds like a Marvel
movie. Words are fun. You know what else is kind of fun?
You know what's crazy?
Wait, what is octo about that symbol? There's 9 spaces and there's four lines.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Go fuck yourself, English language.
All right, anyway. I was transitioning into a game that I played this week, and it was a mobile game of all things. How about that? We were talking about Jerry's game last week, that Rick and Morty game that's just kind of a big joke, but Clown Lotion had mentioned to me that there's actually a really good...
Who's a listener of ours, by the way.
Yeah.
Active listener.
Everyone knows who Clown Lotion is. Come on.
He's our producer at this point.
Well, I'm just saying there's new people that listen every week.
Right. But he'd recommended a game called Pocket Mortys, which is a game based on the Rick and Morty universe.
Which I'm starting to get into now. I'm like four episodes in.
Great show. Great show.
I really
got
to start.
And when he told me about it, he said it's basically Pokemon, but it's pretty fun. And that's, I would definitely agree with that. The good thing here is I never really played Pokemon. We were talking about this earlier in the show. I think I was a little too old for that, like just missed it. Had I been 2 years younger, I would have been in the prime demographic for that show and game. It's weird. I feel like I missed a couple things like that, that I was just barely too old for, like Power Rangers. Just missed that.
Yeah.
Bob, how did you miss Magic? Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's right up your time. Like,
yeah.
Because it wasn't an electronic based
thing. No, you played the Star Wars.
Yeah, I played the Star Wars
Which
version
was like
of it.
A knockoff that came like.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known it because I never went to gaming stores. I wouldn't have known about Magic.
There's a few things. And like as much as we have our nerd badges, like you can't like be into everything. Like I missed D&D. I missed Magic. I kind of missed comic books. Like I never really got into comic books. I had a few, but I was not fanatical about them.
Yeah. You know, Dicknick, I was playing H1Z1 with him last night. Goddamn, he was drunk and it was bad. Usually he's my ringer.
Yeah. You know, like, if you're carrying Dicknick, you got problems.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we might have played 10 rounds and we got 3 kills total.
Oh.
Maybe 4. Or our last round was the best. I killed probably 3 guys. Dicknick killed 1 guy all night. One guy. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But anyway, there's like, I think they have 4 or 5 dudes. You know, when you're young, you live with a bunch of dudes. It's like there's like 4 or 5 dudes and they have a gaming room all together, which is pretty cool. But they have fucking D&D night. They play four or five hours a night on Sunday nights. And I was like, fuck, that's so awesome. It sounds like so much fun.
Yeah. There are a lot of things that I did. Like even couch co-op's a hard thing for us to do these days. But the older you get, the less you hang out with people. And, you know, it's just a warning for all you young people out there. Like, it's
so sad, dude.
It is.
I just die, you lose friends.
I don't think that's
once you hit 30, dude,
true.
It's over. Yeah. It's all downhill from there. But, Pocket Mortys was pretty good. It's a free to play game. So right away, I was like, all right, what's the catch? And there's some micro.
Free to play.
I'm very suspicious of those games or of that style or structure, marketing structure of a game. But, the way they do it is you go into a world and you can fight other guys with your Mortys, which are like Pokemon. And then you have to fight one boss to get back to your main hub, the main base where you can heal up and do all that stuff. And
All the Mortys are the different Pokemon?
Yeah, they're the different Pokemon.
Do they look different?
From different realities?
Yeah, you got like Scruffy Morty. What were some other ones? Like Test Tube Morty or something like that. Like there's just all these different versions of the Mortys. And they have different accounts. And there's all these things that I feel like are identical in Pokemon, but I never played Pokemon, so I don't know. Because in Pocket Mortys, you have Rock Morty, Paper Morty, and Scissor Morty. So obviously Rock Morty has an advantage against a Scissor Morty. But in Pokemon, they were...
It's different elements.
It was elements. I think that's what someone told me. There was like leaf or green.
There's like bug. There's
a lot
like
of
shadow.
It goes
so there's more than three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's like fire, water.
Yeah. But I don't think it's like, I think they get advantages and disadvantages, but it's not like.
As great.
It's not like you're going to lose if you're going against the wrong one.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't even think I need to bother explaining the game because if you know Pokemon, which most people do, it's just like that. The microtransactions come in where you can spend money, and I think it's at these stands that they call Blitz and Chits, which if you've seen Rick and Morty, you know what that is. That's what I really love about this game. It's in the Rick and Morty universe, so, you know, everything just has to do with that, and it's all the characters and all the places, and it's like, oh, Fleeb, hilarious, you know, it's just like,
Did you buy any of the things?
No, I haven't spent any money. I don't plan to. But it's like one of those things where you don't have to spend for any extra content, but you spend money to make the game. You know, you're sent into a world where you probably can't succeed to 100%. You can beat it, no problem. But if you want to get everything and clear the whole place, then you'd have to spend money. I think that's what they're going for here. So, I mean, I'm kind of okay with that. The only other problem I have with this game, and it's just an issue that I have, is it's not a game that I can play in really short intervals. It's like, okay, I'm waiting around here. I can get a little bit of this game in. You actually have to sit down and kind of play this game. It's a you know, like kind of a fully developed larger game, but it's not like Hitman Go where I can just play around in probably like 2 minutes or something. You know, you need a little more of a duration.
Is this, was this sanctioned and everything? Somebody had told me that it was just a fan-made game, or is
I don't know.
Is it actually from the guys?
It seems like it is. I don't know if it's like an, no, that's not Adult Swim, is it?
I think
it, or Comedy Central. It, I don't,
I thought I don't, it was Adult Swim.
It might be Adult Swim, but I don't know. I assume that, yeah, because Jerry's Game, I think it was Adult Swim. Yeah, I assume it's sanctioned. Okay. Like, it's all legit. I mean, it's got all the same characters and all the same places.
But so, the graphic looks cool. The graphics look cool.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that I don't know how else they would do this, but they have the controller on the screen, which I've used in Super Nintendo emulators on my phone, and I absolutely hate, because there's just... it doesn't have the same feeling as that tactile touch of a directional pad. You know what I'm saying? There's like a button and a B button on the screen that you have to tap, and you can never really, sometimes you move your finger slightly and it's not quite on it. So that's annoying. I wonder if it has Bluetooth support, if you have like a Mad Catz Bluetooth controller for your phone.
Do you have that?
No, I don't. I want to get one. I've always thought about getting one because they're really expensive, but they're really good apparently. Because it actually holds your phone. It basically turns your phone into, like, I don't know, a Game Gear, or Nintendo...
Game Gear, back yeah, in
game,
the day.
Game Gear. I don't know, what's the new handheld thing? Nintendo DS. Like,
so, PlayStation Vita.
Bob, you don't... I'm not picking on you here, but...
Okay.
So, Rick and Morty's best thing on TV?
Yes, in my opinion.
Okay. And you don't have cable?
No.
Correct. And you play the game?
Yes.
And you don't plan on spending any money on it at all?
No.
So you don't feel any obligation after all these laughs that you had to spend any money to support any of the Rick and Morty guys? It sounds like I'm picking on you. But I'm speaking for, like, in general, a lot of... I signed up for Netflix just because I support their model so much.
Mm-hmm.
And HBO Go because...
Yeah, I don't know if I spent money on the game. I don't know if that would go directly towards them. And I've preached this show so much, so I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I feel better about it that way. But if there were something that they offered that I wanted,
like a T-shirt,
yeah, like a T-shirt,
or like an Amazon click through.
If this game were on Steam, I would totally get it. I would pay money for it on Steam. I don't know what else would I buy.
Because sometimes I just do microtransactions just to support developers or whatever.
Yeah,
but I don't need Netflix. I have somebody else's
account. I feel like things are a lot more transparent in the video game world, though. Like, if you buy a game, then that directly supports developers and the things that you want to support. But
minus the 30% from Steam, minus the 50% from the publisher.
Yeah, I mean, it goes through a lot of hands. But, you know, with TV, I don't know. I mean, how does that translate?
I'm just saying a little way of... showing a little love would have been through this game. They would have got whatever it is. It would have been something. One is better than nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you're saying it should be a donation. I mean, I would feel better about just giving them money rather than spending money on the game. I'd feel no need to spend money on the game.
A TV show isn't really a platform where they have a thing for donations.
If they had DVDs with like developer director commentary or something like that.
Yeah, you download those too.
No. Oh, you can't find director's commentary on like torrent sites. It's very difficult to find that stuff.
Huh.
Interesting.
So in the mobile sphere.
Yeah. Oh, so I had a fucking segue. You said you couldn't play for small periods of time. That's one of the great things that Galaxy of Heroes has. It automatically pauses when you shut down and you can pick up exactly where you were.
Except
weeks later,
I learned one area you can't do it.
Okay, what's that?
In the arena mode, when you're playing against other people's heroes.
Yeah, of course.
It's got a 5-minute timer.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's asynchronous. It's not like I'm playing against them.
But they're changing their squad, though.
Yeah. So you've got a 5-minute timer on that.
I explained it kind of shittily 2 weeks ago. You want
to? So I picked it up. I didn't like it at first. It goes through a tutorial and then kind of just lets you do your thing.
Give them an overarching real quick synopsis of what it is.
Well, you talked about it last week, and I thought you kind of explained the game decently enough. Okay. But it's Galaxy of Heroes, which is a mobile game.
Star Wars based.
Star Wars based. and you have a squad of up to five people that you can...
Six.
Well, you can have an ally for, right, for the six guy. The things that I like about it... it's got a, enough there that I find that I'm coming back to it several times during the day, but I don't feel like if I didn't come back to it several times a day, I don't feel like I missed everything.
Right.
Like I can, in one sitting, do most of the stuff that I want to do.
You can or can't?
You can. Like you can, like you can spend all your energy. You can do your three fights for your different things.
How are you spending all your energy? With those event tickets or those sim tickets?
Yeah, you can play or you can sim.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of simming recently.
Yeah. Because it forces you to farm. But have you felt even the slight urge to spend money?
I took a look at... Because I want another character. I haven't gotten a fifth Empire character.
That's Darkseid. The interesting part. I don't care about more characters. I'm not working on the Empire at all. I'm just working on my primary guys. I like them all. I got everything covered. I got a healer. I got a tank. I yes, it'd be cool to have Han Solo or something, but it, my squad's working just fine as it is.
Well, later on you'll find, because apparently I'm higher level than you.
Uh-huh.
Later on you'll find like events. It'll be like tank only. And then you got to run with just your tanks if you want to do that event. Or it'll be healer and support only. So, you'll
definitely... I've played this game a lot, dude. How are you past me?
What level are you?
I don't know.
I just hit 25 this morning.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds higher than me.
Yeah. So, I like the light and dark side. That's cool because if you can like do something on the light side but use your level up points for your dark side, so then they have an advantage when they go back in, and then you can... do it back and forth with each other.
Should I be playing both sides, you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Because I was thinking all the resources should just go to the team that I'm working on. And then later on, if I feel like it, I can bring in the other side.
You kind of hit walls.
Yeah.
Like, you'll... My guys are all level 20.
Yeah.
And I can't really progress. So I'm doing stuff on the dark side to get them pushed further.
Okay.
So they can,
that makes sense.
So they can go. And then the simming also helps because the sim, you'll get training points and stuff like that.
Now those allies, are you borrowing them from other characters?
Or yeah, players? Other people. Yeah.
And could you get those characters on your own?
No, but you can like invite them and be friends with them.
Right.
And then you can get advantages from having allies.
Huh. Anyway, there's a kind of a lot to this game, even though the mechanics are relatively simple.
So after the training period went, I kind of like was like, I'm not really into this game. I don't really know what to do. Because normally in games like this, I save my training points to put them... Because normally you get like weak characters. And right. Then when you start unlocking better characters, then I put my training points into that. Right. That's kind of how I did it with Marvel Alliance. And that's how I kind of did it in Marvel... What was that other fighting game with Marvel? Anyways, so that's kind of how I normally do it. And this game, you can't do that.
You got to constantly leveling up.
You got to be spending your
points. You're on the cutting edge of what you could possibly do.
But what's cool is, you know, you've got a one-star character, which is a shitty character, right?
Right.
But he can eventually become a seven-star.
Right.
Because, yeah,
that's super hard.
Oh, yeah. It is super hard, but it is cool that you can do that.
Yeah, right. Anyway. So, I think it's the best mobile game I've tried.
Bobby, any in a long time.
Galaxy of Heroes or Galaxy Heroes?
I don't know.
Galaxy of Heroes. I don't know.
Galaxy of Heroes. Yeah, I don't know. I might check it out.
Maybe while we're playing. Say, oh man, that's awesome.
Mobile's a hard sell for me.
You're playing Pocket Mortys.
Yeah, but it's Rick and Morty. I mean, come on.
Okay.
It's Star Wars. Come on.
I will say. So, I say...
See, my character's at level 22, so I think I might be also level 25. I haven't run into these tank-only things.
Avengers Alliance?
Yeah.
Was my favorite Facebook game.
Yeah.
But it didn't translate very well over to mobile. Because a big part of Avengers Alliance were you had to run these missions constantly because you were constrained with coins. Mm-hmm. So you had to constantly be running these missions to get these coins, which were just filler. You'd have to go in, click the button, and it would do, after 3 minutes, it would return.
This alleviates that with the send tickets.
Well, because it was designed for Facebook for people that would be on there all day. Uh-huh. So you can't really do that with phones.
Right.
So the ones that are designed for phones don't have that aspect.
Right.
So I like Avengers Alliance better than this because I like the heroes and stuff better.
Mm.
But it didn't translate to phones. So this, I think, is a better phone game.
And this actually has animations as opposed to your
other one did.
Oh, it did?
But it, I mean, it was sprite-based instead of this is 3D rendered.
3D rendered, yeah. Anyway, we don't talk about mobile games too much, but we both really like this game, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I actually played one other thing. Puppy Parade. Puppy Parade requested that we play Fishing Planet. So Fishing Planet is in early access right now. It's free to play. It's on Steam. It's a free to play on Steam microtransaction style game. Basically, it is a game that tries to be as realistic as possible for fishing. It's got good graphics. It's got an interesting sort of mechanic. I didn't struggle to catch fish, but after the basic tutorial, they kind of just throw you in there. So they start you off with just a regular fishing rod that you kind of just throw in the water. But that doesn't let you like get the bigger fish, and they've got like casting rods and stuff like that. But I don't think it's going to explain any of that stuff to me. So I don't know if you have to like know fishing, because I don't know fishing at all. Have you guys fished? Do you guys know what
any? I know nothing about fishing.
So like it tells you, oh, okay, set your bob to 90 and throw it in the middle of the water and use pet food to try to get catfish. And I said, okay, so I'll do that and I'll drop it in and I'll do it and I'm catching catfish. But then there's like bigger fish in this pond, but it doesn't tell you how to get those bigger fish. So I guess that's part of the gameplay, is trying to figure out how to get these bigger fish by changing your, you know.
You need better equipment to get the better fish.
Basically. Hmm. But it's kind of got a... So it's free to play, like I said. So you can spend money to get kind of like the high-powered, you know, rods and reels and all sorts of stuff like that. And I'm not sure... So I'm not in the fishing world, so I don't know... It seems like they're using real items in, you know, like real rods, real, you know...
Like lures. Name brand?
Yeah, like name brand ones. So I'm wondering if it's going to be, you know, like... This is kind of how they're getting money also.
That's interesting.
Is getting it sponsored by different ones.
Is this game fun?
Yes. But it's like, how much of gameplay can you do from fishing, you know?
I mean,
the last and I think only fishing game I ever played was the Black Bass. And I remember that being a lot of fun, but...
Because this is a simulator. Like, it tries to be as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
fishing is fun.
So, for what I'm doing right now.
Supposed to be.
So, it's in a 3D world, you know, like the graphics are nice. So, you can move your guy, and you've got this small stretch of land by the water. So, you can move your guy up to a spot, and then you throw your hook in the water, and your bobber's sitting there, and you know, when you see it tug, you hook your thing and you start reeling it in.
Now, like, we know how fishing works.
Yeah, that's it, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, is there more? Is it going to get...
This is like golf games.
Yeah, it is like golf games.
I think something's kind of lost when you try to gamify and digitize something like this, because part of the experience of fishing and golfing is being out there in the fresh air and the open and nature and...
The fuck is all that you just say?
No, I'm just saying, like, when people go golfing and when they play and when they go fishing...
What is fresh air?
Okay, yeah.
I live with Chad. There is no fresh air to be had.
Yeah. I haven't left the house this weekend.
All that stuff is lost when you play this on a screen. So I don't know. It does look cool. I mean, that's a really good idea, because there's nothing like this. Like, no. There's nothing else... That even comes close.
And it's also, It's online. So you have a chat kind of on the side of your screen, and it's just, it's doing a running tally on what people are catching. So it's kind of cool. Like somebody caught a 28-pound fish and everybody was like congratulating him. So it was kind of cool to like, you kind of have a community there and you can be asking people stuff.
Can you see each other?
You can't see each other. Well, because there's only...
You're in your own instance.
You're in your own instance because there's only short stretches where you can actually fish from. It's not like they have you can be around the whole pond or whatever.
Like, can you drink while you play this game?
I think you pretty much have to, right?
Is it weird? I mean, in the game, can you like bring a six pack out there? Okay, so you got to do that in your computer chair.
Is it weird that I really want to make fun of this, but I really can't because it seems kind of intriguing and fun?
And it's free to play, so pick it up and give it a try.
Well, let's talk about that free to play thing. I mean, what exactly is behind the paywall? Is it anything that you can't? Is there anything that you can't get by gaining some sort of in-game currency?
So, click on the one picture that shows like the store or whatever.
You really like fish, right? You should support fish, Chad.
It's true. I know.
So some of those, I don't know if you can see it, but some of those have like a, it looks like a stack of bills, and some of them look like coins. So you can either buy a thing with coins, which, you know, is the real world currency, or with the stack of bills, which is their in-game currency, but you can't buy them with either. It's one or the other. So I don't know if that means...
So I just thought of that they're using make your money, right? Have real lures, have real reels in there, have real
makes
pulls.
Sense.
Makes sense. Fucking why make all this lore when the lore exists, right?
Yeah.
But then you think of, well, these guys pay me more. Should you be able to catch so much more fish with these ones?
Yeah.
And but then which is kind of like a gray area there or something. It's a little weird. Mm-hmm. But counter to that, the fucking, if you've got Ragnaros's hammer, it's going to do better than the other swords. So you need to have something way better, something to strive for.
Yep.
Might as well have it be the most expensive one in real life as well.
Yeah.
This is a really weird, a lot of talking points on this game.
Yeah. So
that nobody's going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to level 4, which I was proud of. At level 5, you unlock the next location you could go to. So I'm probably going to get to 5 and unlock the next location. And play that a bit, but I don't know.
I feel it has a little Euro Truck Simulator to it, where like I'm playing this. It's a job. I don't know why I'm continuing playing this.
Yeah.
Simulator games are always more interesting in concept than they are in actuality. Every time I sit down to play one, I'm like, I'm not into this.
I was watching this, or I saw this picture of like an 80s PC game and all the kids in the living room reacting to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's like a kid having a heart attack on the couch in the back, not even looking at the screen.
Yeah, he's just freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, I'm just feeling like you cannot have those kind of reaction shots. Even online, you cannot fake reaction shots to these simulators, ever.
Yeah.
Not one simulator has ever been, never. But... Yeah. Oddly stimulating. Oddly, like, it's triggering reward systems, which is all games are anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's almost taking a shortcut to it.
I got a great idea for a game, Podcast Simulator.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Ooh, I like it.
Have you drafted your Bobby?
Do you have any interest in playing this fishing planet?
Playing it? No. Hearing about it? I thought that was enjoyable.
Okay.
Maybe if it were mobile.
Yeah.
So do you want to do our top 5? Or
yeah, we're running low on time.
Okay.
We haven't done hardware. We got a special request to do that.
Yeah.
And I've had stuff prepared, but we just have not had time. We always run long on our show. But I've been talking to a lot of people about cooling your computer. Yeah, keeping it nice and cool, which isn't really important this time of year, but definitely in the summer and also depending on where you live. And that's the first thing you want to start with is, first of all, where do you live? Like, what is the ambient temperature of where you live? I mean, here, it gets hot, not too bad, but it does get kind of warm. But I used to spend a lot of time on forums where most people from Australia, it gets a lot warmer in there. Maybe if people are up in Canada, things are much cooler there. So the cooling that you get for your computer is going to vary depending on where you are geographically as well. And do you run air conditioning? Do you sweat it out? You know, like that kind of stuff. Also is a factor. But when it comes to cooling and case cooling, there's a standard pattern that you want to go with. And it's really hard to explain this without pictures. But if you go to computer case cooling on Google Images, things will come right up. Basically, on a computer, the front fans that you have, you always want those pulling air into your computer. And any fan that you have pulling air into your computer, you want to have some sort of filter on. A lot of these cases are really nice, and they come with filters that you can easily remove and clean and put back. I definitely recommend those, because nothing worse than having to clean those and remove them manually. That's a pain.
Mine always looks like a war happened in there.
Yeah. And these things will build up a ton of dust, even if your house is not very dusty. Also, if you smoke near your computer, that's going to add to it quite a bit. But your front, you always want to pull air in from the front. The back, you want to push air out.
And would you say the in is the most important? The intake of all the fans?
Well, that depends on, that gets into negative and positive air pressure, which I'll talk about in a minute here.
Okay.
So let me just describe fan placement. Front is always pulling air in. Back, always pushing air out. Side, not every computer case has this, but your side always pulls air in. Usually that blows air onto your video card right there. And then the top is typically an exhaust. I don't know which one of these are really the most important, probably the front and the back. Sometimes they have fans on the bottom of the case too. And I've seen those go both ways, pulling air in or pushing it out. Usually that's an intake.
Well, what I was asking, or I guess the reason I was asking is how important is cleaning this air filter, I guess is what I was trying to get to. Once a year, every 6 months.
Yeah, it depends on how dusty your place is. I mean, I clean mine out every few months.
So if you had an elderly person in your place, you probably want to clean it up pretty frequently. They flake off a lot.
They're flaky people.
That's a weird thing to bring up. This is odd.
But when you pull air in and you push air out, you know, that creates either a vacuum, you can get negative air pressure, or it also makes positive air pressure. If you're bringing a lot more air into the case than you are putting out of the case, then you have positive air pressure. And the problem with that is dust will build up inside the case. A lot of people will argue what's better, negative pressure, you know, having more air going out than you have coming in, or having positive pressure, or keeping it static. The general consensus seems to be static, but slightly on the negative side. You want a little bit more air leaving your case than you want coming into the case. That seems to give the best results. And also, this is a tip that I have for everyone that is looking at fans. There's so many sizes out there. You used to see a lot of 80 millimeters back in the day. That was like the stock default case fan size. Nowadays, 120 millimeters seem to be the most common. If you can get bigger than that, I have a 200 millimeter on the side of mine.
Naturally.
The bigger,
I had one of those, but my computer case started to fly off. There's a brick on my computer case right now.
But the bigger the fan, the more air it pushes, and also the lower RPMs, which means less noise. So if you get a bigger fan, you move more air and it's quieter. Uh-huh. And that's a big factor. And what kind of computer are you building? Is this a home theater PC? Are you going to be watching movies on this a lot? Then you're going to want a quiet computer. So you don't want small fans that are spinning really fast and making a lot of noise.
Which is what Bob gave me. Bob gave me one fan and I put it on the side. And I thank him for it because it gets super hot in here. But it is a constant... No, I can lower the RPM.
I thought that was your just vibrator going nonstop.
I can lower the RPMs on this, right, Bob?
Yeah, you can lower the RPMs. Usually there's software. You connect your case fans to your motherboard typically. You can buy a third-party fan controller, even one with knobs that you can control. I don't like those. Every time I've got one, and I've gotten a lot of them in previous builds, I've never used them. I just turn them up and I leave them there. Never used the...
Well, it would make sense that you would turn them down during winter and turn them up during summer. So, or you turn just them like your refrigerator.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you turn them down when you're not playing a game. Then you turn them up when you actually need the extra cooler.
Except I'd forget, leave them turned down, fry my hard drive.
As much as I've had those, I've hardly ever used them. I find it much better to connect them to the motherboard. And then the motherboard usually has software where you can control it there. Or you can go into the BIOS or the UEFI and you can set it. in there. But you can control the speed of your fans for the most part. When you buy a fan, it'll tell you this fan runs at 700 to 1200 RPMs. You know, it'll give you the range there.
I have questions.
Okay.
If you're talking about getting a case, as far as a case with fan slots, your ideal one would have one in the front, several in the back, and at least one on the side. If you're talking about
preferably, but you don't always see one on the side. A lot of times you'll see a window there. Always, if you're finding a gaming a case for a gaming computer, you always see one in the front, one in the back. A lot of times one on top. I would definitely recommend that ones that hold either 120 or 140 millimeter fans. Some things are a matter of preference. Do you like lighted fans? Again, if you're building a home theater PC, don't go with the lights. That it's going to be distracting and it's going to ruin the contrast in the room. You know, usually you want a very dark room when you're watching a movie. Also, is this computer in your bedroom? Do you want a bunch of lights flashing while you're trying to sleep? It's going to be kind of annoying.
Who's building these home theater PCs? It's called a DVD, Bob.
Well, now it's like a PlayStation 4, basically. Yeah. But, you know, people still do home theater PCs.
No, it's true. It's probably the cheapest. Like, if you had a home theater, the best thing to do would be a PC, right?
Yeah. And that's what I got set up over at my girlfriend's. It's a home theater PC. The AMD Fusion CPUs are great for that. And all it's really used for is just playing movies.
Well, do you have a projector set up?
No, it's on a big TV. I rocked a projector for the longest time, and those are great, but you need a really dark room.
If you have the perfect room, I had one as well. If you have the right setup, 100%, don't buy a monitor, don't buy an Oculus, buy a fucking projector. They're awesome. They're really, bang for your buck.
I'd come into your place, and you would have a movie playing on your wall. It would literally be taking up the whole wall.
Yeah, it was like 13 feet across. I had my issue. And it wasn't very saturated, I guess would be the word. But as far as pixelation,
you could get your place really dark. So
That's the problem you run into with projection units is it's really hard to get that inky black. So the contrast, either you get one with like really like a home theater PC that gets like that really good black, but then your room has to be completely dark. You lose out on lumens. Then you have your business class projectors, and those ones are really bright, but they aren't really good for a movie. They're great for a PowerPoint. Hmm. But I digress.
I got another cooling question.
Okay.
You didn't talk any at all about water cooling?
Water cooling, yeah. Which I've done in the past, but did you have a specific question?
Well, about?
This is not a class.
you've done both. You've done water cooling and this.
Yeah.
Water cooling is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Is the payoff of water cooling worth the work and money invested in the water cooling?
We've gotten really too serious. I'm just going to say poop.
Okay.
Right now. Okay. Now
just to lighten it up.
Just lighten it up a little bit. Okay. Now. All right. Let's keep going.
Water cooling. First of all, don't water cool if you're not going to overclock. There's absolutely no reason to. You can use stock air coolers or even
unless you like the look of it.
Yeah. If you're going for a cool look, sure. But I mean, you're spending all that money just for that look. No, if you overclock, then yeah, you might need some extra cooling. I'll tell you what I am a big fan of right now, though, is these coolers that I've used in several of my builds. I currently have one right now that's like 4, maybe 5 years old, and it's been holding out the entire time. It's a Corsair H80. It's a self-contained water cooler for the CPU. And you buy it, you don't have to mess with any water blocks and connecting the tubes and
set and forget.
Well, it's a self-contained unit. So it's got some tubes that come out of it, and it's got a radiator, and you attach the fans to it. I've got mine in a push-pull config, so I got a fan blowing into it and a fan pulling air off of it, and it does great cooling. I could overclock a little bit if I want to, but it's basically water cooling without all the headache of setting it up.
What's it called again?
The Corsair H80. Now, that's a really old model. I would recommend some of the newer ones that they have, or even the Corsair H100, which has the really large radiator. But you need kind of a bigger case for that.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen these.
And plus, it turns your apartment into a steampunk paradise.
Yeah.
What I use on my cooling is I have a really small AC unit that I have hooked up into my computer.
You know what I've seen a lot of people do, and I get asked this question a lot when it comes to cooling.
The look on your face.
I thought you were serious. I was like, "Where? I haven't seen this thing." I was like,
"That sounds cool."
I was like, "Well, at the end of my gaming session, I just piss on my computer, cool it down."
You know, I actually had a hose burst one time when I had a water cooling setup, totally in the middle of a raid during World of Warcraft.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh God!
2%. 2%. 10 guys left. We're gonna do this. We're gonna.
Well, what happened? Nothing happened. That was the crazy thing. The water burst, and you know it takes a while for the CPU to heat up after this. So I immediately went down there, pulled the side of the case off, started mopping it up, and everything was okay. The computer continued to work, and then maybe like a week later, I started to have like real hardcore motherboard failure after that. So, yeah, that's always a nightmare when it comes to water cooling. When you do water cooling, at least when you're going to do it like fully, you know, with all the blocks and the hoses and do it all yourself, you set it up without the hardware in it and you let it, well, I used to let it run for about a day just to see if there were any leaks, because you don't want to just set that up and cross your fingers with all your super expensive hardware in there.
Seriously.
See, I always thought that you'd get a brand new little baby PC after the water breaks on your initial PC.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Apparently.
Yeah. Too many babies.
And you got to drive to the hospital. And
all right, let's wrap this.
Okay. Well, one more thing I want to talk about cooling, because I get asked this question a lot. A lot of people just take the side of their computer case off, thinking that if they remove the side of the case, more air can get in and this that guy will cool out. Yeah.
That's the worst thing to do, right?
It's not a good thing to do, because what that does is completely mess up your air pressure, because it's not just about the temperature in the case. It's about the airflow and the suction, getting that air out of it. So when you take the side off, then you have just all this air blowing around and it's not going in any direction. So the way that cooling works is they have these heat sinks, which basically increase surface area on something. And then you got to blow the hot air off of it and bring new cool air on top of it. So it's really a matter of moving the air, not cooling the air.
Hmm.
That's what you want to think. When you're cooling your computer, you want to move the air, not cool it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So that's my bit on case cooling. We'll try to do more hardware stuff too in the future.
That's good info.
Cool. Yeah. Listener questions. We got something from Sites.
It wasn't a question. He had commented last week on our coming out this week. We were talking about Dragon's Dogma. I said I was interested. You guys said you weren't. He said, again,
this is happening all on our DL Gaming podcast Steam group. So if you're not a member, you don't even need an invite. Just go and join. There's a lot of conversation. And we are so accessible. It's a little slutty.
Yeah. We are just wide open like a whore. Sites mentioned that he has played the Dragon Dogma series, loves them, highly recommends them. I was just going to ask you guys, I said I was already interested, but does that make you guys more interested?
Now, this is the one that was like a single-player RPG?
It's an open world. It looks third-person RPG style.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was a series.
Yeah.
So, I do like single-player fantasy.
Well, he was talking about how,
fantasy, right?
You know, he was trying to kill a dragon, and he was in there with some of his buddies, and like the dragon threw a breath and killed all of them but him, and he was on the dragon's back trying to stab away, but then the dragon flew up in the air and he was trying to hold on, but then he lost his grip and fell to his death. It just sounded like it was a cool kind of stuff going on.
Sounds cool. And then you said you play it because you said you had some interest, and if it's good, we'll pick it up. I didn't know it was multiplayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That reminded me.
What's the game called, by the way? It's Dragon Dogma. Dark Arisen? Is that the most recent one? No, that is not the most recent.
Oh, which one is it then?
Oh, maybe it is. Yeah, that is it.
Yeah, Dark Arisen.
Dark Arisen. So, yeah.
Story you just told me about, it just reminds me of my most famous story that I like to tell about gaming. The biggest one I've ever had, and I gotta tell it just because it's almost exactly that. So EverQuest, beginning of real MMOs, were on a 40-person raid. They couldn't fill out the roster. I was invited to come as a... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm mixing up my stories. Some guy was invited. A friend of ours was invited, and he wasn't level 50 yet. He was like level 54. And
he wasn't level 60 yet. 60 was it, Kev?
It was 50 at the beginning.
So, and he was level what?
44.
Okay, gotcha.
And level 55, 45 was the hardest level in the game. It was a hell level. they're usually twice as long or up to four times. I think 45 was four times as much as a regular level.
Okay.
And this is back before you'd hear a ding once a month. That it was really hard to level up. So he goes in there, but just because we were filling the roster, we just needed DPS. Go up against the only dragon in the game, going up, we're constantly getting feared, blah, blah, blah. It's terrible. Everybody's fucking dead, but it's at 0%, but it's still alive. And we're like, his name was Arwen. He's like, Arwen, get the fuck in there. He's the last guy. He goes in there and shoots that fucking magic arrow and takes down the dragon. Takes down the dragon. There was no, the net coding back then was fucking shit, right? He got all of the XP.
Yeah.
Bing, 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 bing. He's 48. 48 from one arrow, one, maybe two, three arrows, whatever he could shoot before it turned and saw him. And so he's the only person alive. And now I think, okay, so then he's looting the corpse, but it's his first raid. He's in his hands holding about 2,000 real dollars worth of product. Because there was a lot of money in EverQuest.
Nothing was sold out at the time, so you would spend real money and buy people's stuff.
Yeah, so you would go on eBay and sell it, but you know, he held his integrity and, you know, he everything went where it needed to go. But man, there was other times where, I remember somebody looted and fucking just logged off.
Yeah, that's the sold that stuff. Advent of the ninja.
Yeah, like, exactly.
There was no such thing as ninja before.
Dude, there was this guy. He was an enchanter and I looked up to this guy so much. Like, he was so smart. He was one of the smartest guys I've ever met, but I only met him through EverQuest, right? So smart. And he played this and he convinced 39 other people to give him an agility belt. The top, the $1,500 item in EverQuest.
Hmm.
He's like, I need it for this and this and this and this and this and this. And we're like, oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good. An agility belt went to a $1,500, which by the way, wasn't on his body a week later.
Wow.
Yeah. He was really, really smart. Pand, I think was his name. If you're listening, Pand, hit me up.
All right. Let's get some news and get this wrapped up.
Yep. All right. XCOM 2 to have day one mod support.
Yeah. So I think the XCOM 2 developers, Firaxis, I believe they are, reached out to the guys who have modded with no mod tools, made a whole mod that makes the game harder, but gives you a bunch of tools to deal with that. And people really like that. So I think what happened was they reached out and they're like, hey, this is what we're doing. Get ahead of the game. Here's our mod tools early.
Okay. So they're going to have day one mods. I read that wrong. I mean, we already knew they were going to have mod support for this game right off the bat, but they're going to have mods ready to go when the game comes out. I think that's a smart move.
And also, the great thing about, okay, so.
Are they paying these guys to do it?
Probably not. So the great thing about XCOM 2, I think already, I'm already sold. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be XCOM 1, but even better. But why not do it as Luke Skywalker? It would just be fun to change the skins out to whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Oh, meaning mod it to
Whatever you want. Yeah. And why? I'm not emotionally invested in these dudes that are saving the planet.
Like, you named one of them me.
Oh, right. And then, yes.
Yeah.
I was so invested.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on the whole storyline. They could easily be Lego guys and I would have just as much fun. It's really the base building and the combat that sells me on this game.
The mechanics are fun.
The mechanics. The story is like, yeah, cool. Yeah. It fits.
Mm-hmm.
Aesthetically, it could be the guys, Ninja Turtles. And that'd be fine with me. Even better, actually. So yeah. So watch out for Donatello.
Well, you just love mods. You love mods in general.
Yeah, yeah. So, but for free, why not?
Yeah.
So I asked Bob about this earlier, but he said he hadn't heard. So, you know, every once in a while you hear these things and like, oh, we're going to make this huge jump and you don't really see it. You don't see it. Bobby says until you see it until you can buy it at Walmart or wherever he shops. He doesn't believe it.
New egg, yeah. Maybe.
So, Samsung isn't just announcing that they made this HBM2 chip, which is 7 times faster than the fastest chip available. They're going into mass production. Not, hey, we invented it. Hey, good luck trying to stop us, basically. And Samsung's taking over the entire game right now. Samsung is, locally, we have Qualcomm, which is a huge cell phone component manufacturer, and they have massive layoffs because Samsung said, why don't we just do it ourselves? And they're doing it. They do. Here's the problem, or the good thing for everybody, really, except for America, is they make things quicker, faster, cheaper, and better. So this thing is 7 times faster, and they're already mass producing it. So we're going to be seeing it in our computer, in our graphics cards.
Okay,
so this year.
So this is for graphics rendering?
Everything.
So just CPUs?
CPUs, everything. Apparently it does everything great. And So
it's going to be $8,000, but
it might save, you know, it might compute the and fix the deficit, but who cares? We're going to see bigger tits on Lara Croft.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which is really what we're after.
Yep. So I think that's it. Oh, and if you got an extra minute on Steam, go to Undertale. Just who cares if you play the game? Read the reviews. There's some good. Yeah. I cut and paste some of them to Chad, and they're just. It's somewhere between them trying to be funny so that they can get to the top, and really, really, really loving this game.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to play the game.
You're just gonna have to play the game.
Everybody was so interested in it,
and they were saying so much about the pacifist route, and I would have to restart to play the pacifist route. So I might do that, but I'm going to finish my current game and see if I want to play it. So anyway,
yeah,
are done?
I think so.
That's a wrap.
All right. So speaking for Bobby, Chad, Emilio, and my dad, titties.